If you'll turn back to God's Word, to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. We come this morning to look at verse 25 to 29. Paul, a Roman citizen. As we've picked up again in this series in Acts, we've seen the gospel is advancing. And Paul is striving for the gospel. Paul is straining towards what is ahead. And to do that, he has worked for unity within the church. He's expected persecution as he works for the gospel and seeks the advance of the good news. And Paul's been ready to give a defense of the gospel before the Jews. Now this morning, we see Paul using the law of the land, or Paul using his Roman citizenship to help advance the gospel. Paul does everything for the sake of the gospel. And he's going to use the privileges that he has as a Roman citizen to help spread the good news. There are times when we are to make use of the privileges within the bounds of the law that we have. God raises up rulers and authorities. Romans chapter 13 speaks all about earthly authorities. And it says that rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. For he, that is the ruler that God puts in place, is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. As Christians, being part of Christ's church, we are also to be subject to the rulers and the authorities that God has put over us. But that also means we're able to use the privileges that come under those authorities. And we are to do so for the sake of the gospel. So that's what we're thinking about this morning as we consider Paul making this statement about his citizenship, using the privileges of our citizenship for the sake of the gospel. Notice how Paul speaks up just before he's about to be flogged. And he says, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" Now, this is a short section that we're looking at. It'd be easy for us to skip over it in order to maybe move on to the next part where Paul stands before the council and is going to make another defense of the gospel. But I think this short section gives us clear, good, practical help. As we seek to live as citizens within this kingdom on earth, but also as citizens of heaven, here is good practical advice to help us to proclaim Jesus Christ in our lives as citizens of a nation here on earth. Just like Paul does, there are times when we are to make use of our privileges and rights for the sake of the gospel. So let's look at this passage before us this morning in Acts 22. And the first thing I want us to consider is the privileges of Paul's citizenship. The privileges of Paul's citizenship. We can read Paul saying he's a Roman citizen and not really consider what that meant. But what Paul possesses here is something that was highly prized and desired by many people. The Roman Empire has expanded and grown. It covers an area of 5 million square kilometers. Now, if you're like me, that's just a big number. The Roman Empire stretched from England, down through France and Spain, down to the north of Africa, the whole way across the Mediterranean, as far as Egypt, up from Egypt through Israel and Syria, up as far as Azerbaijan, and then across through Turkey, back through Europe, including Hungary and Romania, the southern tip of Germany, back across to England. It's a huge, vast area. There was approximately 7 million people within that area. That was the population of the Roman Empire. That was 20% of the world's population were in the Roman Empire. So this is a huge area. So many people. But yet, being in the empire didn't make you a Roman citizen. To be a Roman citizen was something highly prized. To be a Roman citizen, you either had to be born in Rome, in privilege, in society, or you could serve in the military for 25 years, and then you could become a Roman citizen. Or another way to become a citizen would be to perform some great act for the empire. Or you could buy it at a great price. But to be a citizen was something that was coveted. It gave its possessor numerous rights and privileges. To be a Roman citizen in the empire, it meant that you could vote or you could stand for office. You could make legal contracts. You had the right to legal trial. You could even appeal your case to Caesar. Also, as a Roman citizen, you weren't allowed to be tortured or scourged. You couldn't receive the death penalty unless you were guilty of treason. Now, obviously, if you weren't a Roman citizen, then you could be tortured without trial. You could be flogged without trial. You didn't have rights to a legal trial, and you couldn't appeal to a higher court, and you couldn't appeal to Caesar. And of course, not being a Roman citizen meant you could face the death penalty, including crucifixion, which in most normal circumstances, no Roman citizen would ever have to face. Being a Roman citizen meant privilege. In fact, it was a serious matter if a Roman citizen was mistreated. If a Roman citizen was mistreated, you could face severe punishment. Look at the end of verse 29. After they discover Paul's citizenship, what do these rough soldiers do, these strong men who've been so forthright? They withdraw. They're terrified. Why? Because they bound Paul. They put him in chains. Being a Roman citizen was a powerful thing. You were protected under law. It was a privilege. Paul has been arrested, and he's brought back into the Roman barracks at the temple. And the tribune, Claudius Lysias, he isn't too sure what's going on. He just knows that Paul has upset these Jews. Upset is maybe a bit of an understatement. They've been shouting against him. And so he says, I know what I'll do. I'll do what I do with every other criminal, every other prisoner. We'll have him flogged. And so they stretch Paul out and they get ready to use the whip, these leather straps with bits of bone or metal attached to them, ready to lacerate Paul's back. And then Paul says, is it right for you to do this to a Roman citizen, to one uncondemned? Paul has privilege. And he uses the law of the land. He uses his citizenship, not just to protect his own life, but he's doing it for the sake of the gospel, as we're going to be thinking about in a moment or two. But I want you to grasp this. The weight of what Paul is saying. There are privileges to Paul's citizenship. There's an immensity, a strength to it. There's something here that people prize. The privileges of Paul's citizenship. But then secondly, and very briefly, the price of Paul's citizenship. The price of Paul's citizenship. The centurion goes straight to Claudius Lysias, the tribune, and he says, "What are you about to do? This man's a Roman citizen." So Claudius goes to Paul and he says, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" Paul gives a one-word answer, "Yes." The tribune has obviously heard Paul speak in Aramaic. He's probably looked at Paul's clothing. Paul would have been dressed as a Jew. Paul was in the temple. Paul had been speaking to the Jews. And now he finds out that Paul is a citizen of Rome. Paul's answer must have floored the tribune. So the tribune says, "Well, I paid a great price for my citizenship. This is how I got it." What does Paul say in return? "I'm a citizen by birth." That's an even higher privilege than what the tribune has. If Paul's first answer of saying, "Yes, I'm a citizen," floored the tribune, this one here, I don't know what's beyond flooring someone. But whatever it is, that's what's happened to the tribune. He can't believe it. Here is one who is a citizen by birth. Paul's citizenship has a higher status. So how did Paul become a citizen of Rome? Well, we don't know. But obviously, either his father or his grandfather or great-grandfather were Roman citizens. Perhaps they'd performed some great act for the empire. Maybe they made tents for the Roman army. Paul was a tent. We don't know. They could have been a wealthy family. His father or grandfather or great-grandfather could have purchased their citizenship. We just don't know, and we don't need to know. But they had citizenship. And so Paul was born a Roman citizen. The tribune had to pay a high price. What a contrast. Paul had no price to pay for his citizenship. Paul's citizenship was given to him. It was inherited. He had a privileged position through inheritance. No price for Paul to pay. The price of Paul's citizenship. And then thirdly, the purpose of Paul's citizenship. The purpose. Paul often kept his citizenship hidden. Up until this point, there was only one other occasion recorded for us when Paul made use of his citizenship. It's back in Acts 16. Paul is in Philippi, and he's put into prison in Philippi. And Paul's beaten, and yet he remains silent. He's thrown into prison, and yet he remains silent, apart from singing psalms along with Silas in the prison cell. And it wasn't until after the earthquake and after the conversion of the Philippian jailer that Paul makes his Roman citizenship known. And when he does, the Roman authorities want to quietly usher Paul and Silas out of the prison and let them leave the city. "We'll keep everything hush, hush, Paul." And Paul says, "No. I want you to come down to the prison and to walk us out of the prison." Why would Paul do that? Why make his citizenship known? Well, it's for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the church in Philippi. That small church faces persecution under Roman authority. But now, Paul, by this act of saying he's a Roman citizen, is helping the church. Which Roman authority is going to persecute the church in Philippi after they have beaten a Roman citizen who belongs to them? No Roman authority is going to do that. So for the sake of the elect, for the sake of the gospel of Christ and Christ's people, Paul made his citizenship known, not for his own sake. He received the beating in Philippi. He was put into prison in Philippi. Paul would have been happy to keep his citizenship a secret, but for the sake of the gospel, his priority is the kingdom of Christ. He then makes his citizenship known. Paul only uses his privileges for the sake of the elect, for the church, for the gospel. This is why he doesn't claim his citizenship in front of the Jews. Paul isn't going to wave the Roman flag in front of the Jewish leaders. The gospel is greater than the flag of Rome. Paul is willing to suffer beatings. Paul's willing to die at the hands of the Jews for the sake of the gospel, rather than claim his Roman citizenship and have that door of opportunity closed. Because when the Jews would find out he's a Roman citizen, that would be Paul's avenue into the synagogues and into the Jewish groups closed. And so for the sake of the gospel, Paul denies his Roman citizenship, denies his privileges in front of the Jews. It would harm the gospel. But to the Romans, Paul will show them that this Roman is a Christian. And to show them that the law protects the one who preaches Christ. Paul shows his citizenship to the Romans to show them that he is free to do what he's been doing, and to show them that his privilege is to keep on proclaiming. It's for the sake of the gospel. Paul is clear-minded enough and wise enough to know when to use his privileges and when to withhold or deny his privileges. For Paul, it's whatever is best for the advancement of the gospel. And that's because his priority is the good news of Jesus Christ. This comes first. This is before citizenship of Rome. It's before being Jewish. It's the very core of Paul, Jesus Christ and the gospel. And Paul here could have been cast away into a prison, into complete obscurity. But he knows that God has a plan. And he knows through inspiration by the Spirit that he will be going to Rome and he'll be preaching there. And so for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the advancement of Christ's kingdom, Paul, in his apostolic wisdom, declares his citizenship. Paul was born a citizen of Rome for a purpose. God had that planned for him. I sometimes wonder what Paul thought about his citizenship before he became a Christian. Remember, he persecuted the Christians. Paul was a Jew. Paul was educated under Gamaliel. Paul wasn't even just a Jew. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. According to the law, he was a Pharisee. You couldn't get any more Jewish than Paul. Growing up, I wonder if he was embarrassed about his Roman citizenship. He obviously kept it hidden. Did this Jew growing up, who hated the church of Christ and was a Pharisee according to the law, did he hide the citizenship away out of embarrassment? Was he ashamed of it? We don't know. But now as a Christian, Paul can look back and see why God had made him born as a Roman citizenship. He could see how God was using this citizenship to advance the gospel. God had a purpose in Paul being born a Roman citizenship, a Roman citizen, for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, for the good of the church. And Paul's priority, the purpose of his citizenship, is to proclaim Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not to use the citizenship for his own benefit, his own glory. He didn't flaunt it, but he used the privileges when they were there that Christ Jesus might be proclaimed. That's the purpose of his citizenship. I want to finally this morning just bring some points of application as we draw this to a close. Like Paul, we have dual citizenship. We are citizens of a nation, and we are citizens of heaven. One of those citizenships takes precedence over the other. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are Christ's. And this citizenship comes with privileges. The privilege of having sins forgiven. The privilege of fellowship with him. The privilege of access to the throne of grace. The privilege of membership in the church. The privilege of taking the Lord's Supper. The privilege of having an eternal home. Our privileges are too numerous to mention, and they're eternal privileges. But as citizens of heaven, we have privileges. And we are privileged to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. This citizenship has also come at a price. It's not a price that we've had to pay, but it's the price that Jesus paid, his death on the cross. The price for our sin. That price that we might be forgiven. That price that we might be adopted into his family. Set free. Made citizens of his kingdom. We sang, "Soul's redemption costly is. Money never could buy this. But God will redeem my soul." The price has been paid. And now by new birth, we have inherited this citizenship in Christ. It's been given to us, paid for us. And our citizenship has a purpose. The purpose is to glorify him, to live for him, to be witnesses to the salvation that he's brought to our lives. We serve, we worship, we witness. The purpose of our citizenship, his glory and his kingdom. Our priority, like Paul, is to be Jesus Christ. But like Paul, as I said, we have dual citizenship. And we're part of a country. We're under an earthly authority. And so we must be wise in how we use this citizenship. Because it comes with privileges. We have laws that still protect us as Christians. We are free to preach the gospel. So we are to use that law. And we are to use the protection that that law affords us. We still have religious liberty, freedom to worship. We are free to serve Christ according to the law of this land. So as that law is in place, make use of the privileges that this nation affords us. God has us here in this nation for a purpose. He has us here at this time for a reason. So make use of what God has given. We're also to use the law to show those in authority when they are mistreating Christ's people or being unfair to the church. And it's right for us to do that. There are times when we have liberty to use the legal means at our disposal to defend the church, to defend the gospel, to uphold Christians who are being persecuted. Like Paul, we have to try to be wise. Sometimes it's best to be silent, to face the beating, face the persecution, to suffer. But at other times, for the sake of the gospel, we are to speak out. We are to say, I am a citizen. And the law of this land dictates that I have this right to proclaim Jesus Christ, to live for Jesus Christ. Organizations like the Christian Institute, they do a lot to help the church in this matter. We have privileges. God has established rulers who are to reward good conduct. We're to remind them of that. We're to use our privileges wisely. Therefore, let us keep preaching the gospel as our priority. This is our purpose. Paul only used his Roman citizenship to further the gospel. When he was with the Jews, he didn't wave his Roman flag. The priority is the open door of the gospel. And so we have to understand, when am I prioritizing a nation before the gospel? If we're doing that, we are doing things wrong. We have things upside down. Our priority is the kingdom of Christ. Growing up, I went to a boys' brigade company in North Belfast. It was a fairly mixed area of North Belfast, and probably rather uniquely, there were some Roman Catholics in the BB. And so the decision was made that we would not fly the Union flag. We wouldn't have it raised at any event that we had, because the priority was Christ's kingdom. Why cause needless offense to those who were there? When you have an opportunity to have people come in and share the good news of Jesus Christ, why put up a barrier? And so the decision was made. Paul remains silent on his citizenship with the Jews because the priority was the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He only used his Roman citizenship when he had to uphold the cause of Christ, not the cause of the Roman Empire. That wasn't Paul's priority. Not even the cause of Paul. The cause of Christ, his kingdom. And so it takes wisdom. And we should pray for wisdom in how we use our privileges, in knowing when to speak and when to remain quiet concerning our privileges as citizens of this nation, when to stand up and use the law, and when to suffer, even unfairly. Friends, we mightn't always get it right, but if our priority is the advancement of the gospel, and if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and if we know for sure that our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we await our Savior, then friends, we will be doing well. Our privileges as citizens are numerous. But our privileges as citizens of heaven are even more so. So let us keep the gospel as a priority. And let's strive to continue to proclaim the glorious truth of Jesus Christ. Amen.